Today's reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. The believers pray. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for all that it teaches us. And we ask that as we spend this time in your word now, that you would help us and lead us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder what you've been up to in the last week. I've actually been up to some fun things, including getting myself a bike. But don't worry, I haven't just got myself a bike. I've got all the other equipment that goes with it. I've got the helmet, the pump and all of those things. I've even got myself some lights. Look, it's not working. There's something missing. Maybe I'll have a look at that later. Of course, at the end of last week and before we began this week, we spent some time together worshipping online. And we thought about the verses in Acts before our reading today, as Patrick spoke to us then. We're continuing today thinking about Peter and John. But this time we're thinking about Peter and John returning back to those early Christians, this new church. And they come back to explain everything that has happened. They give their testimony, if you like, of what they saw, what they did, and all that happened. And that's an important thing, isn't it? It's important to share testimony of how God has been at work, of the difficult things as well. And they share testimony of the fact that a man who's over 40, which means there's hope for us all, is healed. They share testimony of people coming to faith. But of course, they also share testimony of the way that they were warned to stay silent, but they couldn't do that. Because of the truth they knew, because of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in these two ordinary men, giving them courage to proclaim the good news of Jesus. But as they tell these stories to this church, this early church, as well as the excitement of all that God had done, there must have been a sense of alarm at the warnings from the authorities, questioning, fear, and so on. So as these Christians hear what Peter and John have to say, what do the Christians do? Do they cower away? Do they hide? Do they give up? Of course they don't. They pray. And it's interesting, isn't it, that sometimes when we face threats, we just respond. And actually, we can do nothing else but raise our voices in prayer. One example for me is when I was flying back from a holiday somewhere and we hit some quite bad turbulence. And I found myself praying out loud, really loudly. I'm sure everyone on the plane must have heard me. But that was my response in that moment of threat, was to turn to Jesus. That is the best thing we can do, isn't it? But these Christians pray in a specific way. Let me just read you this. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. The Message version says it like this. They lifted their voices in a wonderful harmony in prayer. In other words, there's something about unity there in their praying together. And so just as Peter and John were bold in their words and actions, this early church were bold in their prayers. I don't know whether you've ever been in that position where everyone's been asked to pray out loud all at the same time. I have, and it's just incredible. It's really actually very powerful. Praying on our own, of course, is really important. But this passage reminds us of the importance of corporate prayer, literally body prayer, praying as the body of Christ together, one heart, one mind. We read that they raised their voices together in prayer. Whatever the situation we find ourselves in, together or as individuals, the best response is pray. This passage reminds us actually of the importance of corporate prayer. And of course, when we think about that at the moment, we recognise that that's quite difficult to do. We can't meet together in one space. But we can in little groups. We can pray in our roots groups. We can pray with our households, maybe with one other household. And of course, we can also pray with our prayer meetings. They're still happening. So once a month, the first Monday of the month, we have the hub, which of course, a hub is about the centre, the thing that keeps everything going. Now, at the moment, the hub is on Zoom, which I know some people find difficult, but I'd love to see lots of you join us as we pray together in that way. Because wouldn't it be amazing if we were all able to join in together somehow? We see the result of it in this passage, actually. There's something about praying together. We have an example of that coming up. So this Tuesday, the 21st of July, we're being asked by Rob to pray and fast for CTK 2020. And how powerful it would be if at 2 o'clock on Tuesday, every single one of us prayed, wherever we are, that we prayed for the project, that we prayed for our church, that we prayed for the witness of our church, for our community, for unity, for God's kingdom to grow, and so many more things, I'm sure, because prayer is vital. And there's something powerful about it when we do it together. I don't know how you found prayer during the lockdown. Some people have found their prayer life has grown deeper as a result of this time. For others, it's just the opposite. Personally, I'm probably somewhere in the middle. Some days I find prayer comes relatively naturally. On other days, it's like walking through treacle. It's a slog. I lose my concentration easily. But this passage has got some things to tell us about prayer. Prayer is at the heart of this passage, specifically corporate prayer. I want to bring three things out from this passage. The first thing is that these early Christians, this early church, acknowledge who God is. They acknowledge that God is sovereign Lord. Now, those words, their sovereign Lord, are about a slave owner and a ruler of unchallengeable power, which, of course, is a reminder that in their prayers, they are addressing the one who is sovereign. So even though the rulers who have been telling them to do certain things are powerful, they are still subject to a higher power, the Lord God, the sovereign. And so these Christians acknowledge that, but they also acknowledge all that God has done. They acknowledge who they are talking to, the one who made the heavens and the earth. I wonder whether we forget that at times when we're praying, that we forget just who we are talking to. They acknowledge that when they're praying, as we are, they are praying to the Creator. That's how awesome our God is. The fact is, God is not aloof. He's not uncontactable. He doesn't have an out of office. He is the one who makes himself wholly available to us. He can cope. Unlike Bruce Almighty, if you've seen the scene where he tries to deal with all the prayers he's hearing, and that's just a little bit of his city. Our God is not like that. They acknowledge that they are praying to the one who speaks revelation by the power of the Holy Spirit. They quote David in Psalm 2, who in that moment foretells how Jesus would be opposed. In other words, they acknowledge that opposition is not new. They acknowledge what Jesus came to do, that he faced opposition, but that, of course, he came as part of God's plan to rescue the world. It's important that when we pray, we acknowledge how God has been at work and who we are talking to, because that reminds us that we're not alone. It reminds us of God's faithfulness. The song I used in a video for our 50th celebrations last year says this: "Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I've seen you move, you've moved the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again." In our prayers, it's important that we acknowledge who God is, that we acknowledge his faithfulness. You could say that these early Christians acknowledged God as sovereign creator, they acknowledged him as God of revelation, and they acknowledged him as the God of history, the God of faithfulness. So secondly, these Christians, once they've acknowledged who they're praying to and God's power and might and how he's been at work, they turn to ask. They ask God and they say this: "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." That's quite a bold prayer in itself, isn't it? The fact is that they could have simply asked God for protection to keep them safe. But these Christians, empowered by the Holy Spirit, know that what they need to do is to keep going, to keep being courageous, just as Peter and John have been. And they know that as they pray, that God will work and that God is at work by his Holy Spirit. I wonder what your response to that is. How would you pray in this situation? What would you ask? Maybe you have faced opposition. Well, in the face of this opposition, these Christians ask three things. And they're quite surprising in some ways, particularly the first one. First of all, they ask God that he would consider the threats. Isn't that an interesting request, asking God to consider? They're not asking God to remove the threats, but to consider them. Maybe that's a challenge for us in our prayers. It's not that it's wrong to ask God to remove something, but it's a challenge to help us think about why we're in the position we're in and what we're facing and how God could work in and through those situations. Secondly, they ask that they would be bold. They don't shy away from that. It's a bold prayer, isn't it, to ask that the Holy Spirit enable them. And that's a bold prayer that we too can pray. I wonder whether you've ever prayed that prayer. Maybe you could this week. Finally, they ask that God would stretch out his hand, that God would perform miracles, signs, wonders, healings. And that's amazing because they're facing a lot of opposition, but yet they don't ask God to destroy or to tear down, rather that God would continue to act and show more people who he is. In lots of ways, we could say that they are kingdom focused. They're asking for miracles of mercy. We may well come to a time when we face opposition to our faith, when we're told that we cannot speak of Jesus. Some are already facing that. And certainly across the world, there are those who are facing that. We heard of that last week in our service. And of course, they are standing up in the face of opposition. They're doing so in the power of the Holy Spirit, who has equipped and enabled them to speak God's word with great boldness. I wonder how you can ask God for that this week. Finally, after acknowledging and asking, they act. After they prayed, it says, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. What an amazing experience that must have been, for the place they were praying in to be shaken in that way. One writer says that the place being shaken left the people less shaken because they were ready and empowered to act. Maybe it makes you think of James Bond, shaken, not stirred, or maybe it should be shaken and stirred to action. The other thing to pull out from those verses is that not only was the place shaken, it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, every single one of them, all. That's you, that's me, all. When we pray, God is at work. When we pray, God acts. And of course, as a result, they act, speaking the word of God boldly. So it's not just Peter and John, but it's all of them. Wouldn't that be amazing if we all did that? I love the consequence of this prayer is speaking the word of God boldly. It's a reminder, of course, that speaking the word of God boldly was not about doing a theology degree or having lots of experience, but simply through prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you bold enough to ask God by his Spirit to help you speak the word of God boldly this week? We are often the answer to our own prayers, aren't we? If you're not sure, have a look at Nehemiah and you will see that in his early prayers. So I want to challenge each one of us this week to pray like these early Christians, to ask where God might be leading us to act this week, knowing that it's not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. I also want to challenge us to remember who we are talking to, who we are praying to when we pray, to acknowledge that God is sovereign, he is Lord. So we have these three things. We have acknowledge, ask, and act. Oh, look, they're three A's. Now, of course, when I think of three A's, I think of a battery. This is possibly the smallest visual aid I've ever used, but I can assure you this is a AAA battery. Prayer is described in many ways, isn't it? It's described as an engine room, as a hub, as I've already said. But maybe today we could think of it as a battery, a AAA battery that keeps us going. And of course, this battery, when placed in something like a light, gives it the power to shine. It's not a perfect analogy, but it reminds us that prayer is vital, that it's vital for us as individuals, but also as a church. So I encourage you this week, let's keep praying. Let's pray on our own. Let's pray together that God would act, that we would act, that we would be bold, empowered by the Holy Spirit.